Thank you for listening to 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley, Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker. We are people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to Shiro's Radio, an independent space that was created to turn up the volume of women, non-binary, and gender-expansive voices in song and conversation. It's a show that amplifies and multiplies those voices that are still not heard in equal numbers to give you an hour of radio unlike any other, created, hosted, produced, engineered, and powered by women. And thanks to radio stations like this one that bring you Shiro's Radio each week, we get together for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities. To quote bell hooks, feminism is for everybody. This is Shiro's Radio, and this radio revolution starts now.
This mother girl. It was a late, late Sunday when the drama went down. Ghetto twins on the spins, hustler foot of the crown. On the lake deck swinging, so you know we drinking. Roll the L's up on the trunk of the truck, so you know we stacking. Boom, clack, bass heavy in the back. Kodaks and throwbacks, pink smoke and cognac. I'm trippy. Boo-boo 50 and my Timmy's pretty. I got my girls with me. Gabby, Brittany, and Brittany, friend, and Kitty. We all chilling on that red legs, leather pants, dookie, black short shorts, because it's your man. Snowballs and alcohol, sweating out my drawers. I live this easy breezy west coast, so then please believe me. Sonically, I'm into hippie, like bombing up the levees. Sipping on this beach, swaying, swipping on the switch. My song, come on, they need this own DJ. Party by my boy Derek House. Everybody hop up in the back of the truck. We bout to head out, women, liquor, cause you can play jigger. Them things who I them people who I had the mess with hits from Kenner.
Say boyfriend, why you acting funny? You have got money, see the 50 bag, defense, and react. You know I've been waiting for you.
All clay ball with an attitude. But you change it all around when you come around. I'm so happy.
Knees, yeah, this is what I want you to do for me.
Happy birthday to New Orleans poet, singer, and songwriter Tariana Tank Ball. Hers is on Tuesday, September 2nd, from their 2020 album Friend Goals that was to be real on She Rose Radio. Also, Run the World Girls from Beyonce as we celebrate her birthday this week as well on Thursday, September 4th. And with that, I welcome you to the She Rose Radio Hour, my friends. So great to see you. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. And for the next hour, we'll turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation. And before we get into what's coming up, I have some big news. She Rose has partnered with the nonprofit AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio. And we've just kicked off our very first fundraising campaign. Text She Rose, that's S-H-E-R-O-E-S, to 53 555. That's SheRose to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through AIR or visit SheRoseRadio.com. Thank you for supporting independent, femme and queer-produced radio and conversations like the one that you'll hear later this hour with Jensen McRae talking about her new album, I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. That interview is coming up in the second part of the show, so I hope that you'll stay with us. Now getting into this one from Australian trio Folk Bitch Trio, who we'll have in the Shiro Spotlight in a couple of weeks. Their debut is called Now Would Be a Good Time. This is called God's a Different Sword.
Am I lucky? Just saying, if I've been walking around in circles, always fumbling your name. Heard it quiet at the bottom of my drawer, a heavy conversation that I started to ignore. Here I go, just one questions turn to answers in a neat little pile. Could I be good on my own accord? Well, heaven knows I need it, but God's a different sword. Here I go, just one waiting for my break. Can't deny it, my body keeps score. But if you tell me that you need it, I can get up off my floor. Here I go. Just one. Early, just to roll up late. Now my future's written out on my Sunday dinner plate. Could I be good on my own accord? Well, heaven knows I need it, but God's a different sword. Here I go, just one. Ooh, ooh.
Title track to Heaven or Las Vegas on She Rose Radio as we send belated birthday wishes to their frontwoman, Elizabeth Frazier, born on August 29th, 1958. Also, new music from Aussie band Folk Bitch Trio, God's a Different Sword. Looking forward to sharing a conversation with FBT in the very near future. I'm Carmel Holt. Don't go anywhere. This week, we revisit our recent conversation with Jensen McRae. That's coming up after the break. Stay with us.
You are listening to People Powered Radio, KAXE. We'll get you right back to more from She Rose Radio. I'm Malachi Coons. Now, a message paid for by the Minnesota Department of Health. Sometimes you just need to talk about it, but it can be hard to find someone who really listens. That's why there is 988, with support that meets you where you are, confidential and staffed by trained folks who want to help when you need someone to talk to. Call or text 988 or chat online at 988lifeline.org. Happy Dancing Turtle near Pine River invites 4 and 5-year-olds to participate in the Tiny Turtles program this fall. Classes begin Monday, September 8th, and continue twice a month through November. Classes are held entirely outdoors. Find more info at happydancingturtle.org. Right now, let's get you back to more from She Rose Radio.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. Since talking with Jensen McRae back in April, it's been so exciting to watch her star continue to rise. This includes her debut performance at Newport Folk Festival, getting a song from her new album placed in the new Lena Dunham Netflix series, Too Much, and now an on-screen appearance in the new Spike Lee movie, Highest to Lowest, performing a song that she wrote for the soundtrack. I've said it before, but it bears repeating, Jensen McRae was clearly born to become the musician and wildly gifted songwriter that she is today. And it's also clear that there is a long, bright future ahead. The Los Angeles-born and raised artist knew that she wanted to be a singer from an early age. And despite feeling a bit like an outsider in school, she's always possessed a nearly unshakable sense of self-confidence, already envisioning winning Grammys when she first began writing songs as a kid. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Today, Jensen will share with us how, even at age 7, she directed her musical education and evolution away from classical training to learning how to play pop songs on the piano, to songwriting, learning guitar, and eventually to USC's music program in 2015. Jensen self-released her first 2 EPs during college, and after graduation in 2019, she put out 2 singles that began to gain wider attention. The years that followed only accelerated that momentum. Jensen's full-length debut, Are You Happy Now, arrived in 2022, and she went out on tour opening for Muna, a band that Jensen now calls one of her favorites. Last year, Jensen was out on the road with Noah Kahan, and back in April of this year, Jensen McRae put out her brilliant 2nd full-length album, I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. She's about to begin the next leg of her mostly sold-out world tour in October, which includes a stop at Austin City Limits. We're so thrilled to bring you this encore presentation of Jensen McRae as this week's Shiro in the Spotlight. Jensen McRae, welcome to Shiro's.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on this beautiful new album. You last put out an album in 2022. What's the journey been between those 2 albums?
I mean, a lot has happened to me in my life, but I mean, the biggest transformation has just been all the touring. Like right after I released that album, I embarked on my first real start to touring around the country and around the world a little bit. And it really informed like how I was making the 2nd record because I wanted to create something that I knew was going to be really fun to play in a live show. And that was not something I'd ever thought about that practically before I was actually on the road playing shows all the time. As a person who's making this sad folk music, like it's so important to have moments of joy and real volume. And so I wanted to write at least a handful of things that felt very effusive and exciting for the fans to like scream along to and dance along to. And that's like the stuff I'm most excited to play when we go out on the road. The oldest song on the album is Savannah, which I wrote like a week after the first album came out. And at that point, I definitely wasn't thinking about a 2nd album structurally. Like I knew I was just going to keep writing indefinitely, but it all ended up being in service of telling this story of these 2 relationships that I had back to back and just the very weird time of going from 24 to 27.
Well, maybe we should jump right into a clip of Savannah. And is there anything else you want to tell us about the song before we listen to a little bit of it?
I think the background of the story is odd lore, just that in these two relationships, both of my exes wanted me to go with them to the city of Savannah, Georgia. And that is why I wrote the song. Yeah, very, very weird. I'm born and raised in LA. I've never lived anywhere else. It was not a city I'd ever thought about at all. And then just by coincidence, within a span of a few months, I got asked to go to Savannah twice. And I was like, this is super weird. Like, I wonder what that means. And I just became very drawn to the feeling of the city and the things that I was learning about it, mainly just that it's really haunted. And I was feeling really haunted. And so that's kind of what the song is about.
That's a song called Savannah from the new Jensen McRae album. I don't know how, but they found me. Jensen's our guest today on She Rows, and I'm Carmel Holt. So you mentioned going into the song that you're from Los Angeles. Tell us a little bit about you and your background and how you and music first met up. Like, how did this whole crazy game begin?
I wanted to be a singer from a super early age. Like, I always knew that I loved to sing, and I also was always a big reader, and I loved poetry and stories. And when I told my mom that I wanted to be a singer as a very small child, she's like, well, you're going to have to learn how to write your own songs then, because that's where the money is. Wow. And I started taking piano lessons when I was 7. And I'd gone through a couple of piano teachers, all of whom tried to make me read music and learn how to play classical piano. And I hated it. And then we found this other piano teacher who quite theatrically was like, okay, well, what do you want to learn? Like, probably knocked sheet music off of the stand and was like, well, what do you want to do? And I was like, I want to play a Christina Aguilera song. And she was like, okay, great, we'll do that. And so she taught me how to pick out music by ear. And I just learned how to read like guitar chord charts. And pretty quickly after that, also started teaching me how to write songs. And it just, I mean, she really opened Pandora's box and I never stopped. And most of my early songwriting was like for school, like whenever we had a project where we were allowed to do a creative assignment, I would write a song about whatever book we were reading or historical period we were studying. And then it just became an outlet for me to process like the feelings of adolescent alienation that I was experiencing. And I genuinely believed that everything I was writing was Grammy worthy long before anything was even kind of good.
That's amazing to have that level of self-confidence. Did that stay with you?
I would say pretty much yes. I definitely have had moments where I've wavered. Like when I was in my sophomore year of college, I went to music school at USC. I was questioning whether or not I belonged in the program, was questioning whether or not I deserved it. And then at the beginning of my senior year of college, because of like the state of the world politically, I was starting to wonder if I should pursue something else existentially. And I was like, maybe after I graduate, like I'll go to law school or something. But of course, it was around that time that I met my now manager. And she was like, you don't have to do that. Like, if you want to do this, you can keep doing this.
So what kinds of things did you discover about doing this job, that is of a songwriter, a musician, an artist, that had to do with doing that as somebody born a female?
I think like the very heavy positive component of it was that I found so much community with other female songwriters. And like, I always find it fascinating seeing the statistics about the number of female songwriters that there are working professionally, because so much of the music that I listen to is by women. It's always staggering and sobering to realize that the number of actual working female songwriters is not as high as I feel like it is in my Spotify library. And in my work and in through the people that I have met, like I've formed so much community with other women who write music. And there's something just totally frictionless about working with other women. And I've written a lot of wonderful songs with men too, for that matter. Like it's not like predetermined in that way, but there is something unspoken. In the same way, like being a Black woman, like when I'm working with other people of color, it's like there's this thing that's just unspoken that's really wonderful. And so forming that community has been great. And it's really like inspiring and motivating whenever I see other women like working at the top of their game to be like, oh, I want to match them. I want to meet them where they are and deserve to be in the room with them. And then, of course, from a more negative perspective, I've been pretty fortunate to have felt safe in most of the rooms that I've been in. But I definitely, especially as a young woman, it's happening slightly less now, just feeling condescended to a lot of the time, like a lot of talking down and a lot of dismissing, especially by like certain older male producers, of just like them telling me like how a song is supposed to sound or why the things I'm doing are wrong. A lot of times, like if we're writing a song for another artist, it's like, I know this is going to a female audience, girls my age. I know what they want to hear. And you're a 50-year-old man. And with all due respect, you don't know what a 20-year-old girl wants to hear.
Right.
And so there was definitely some frustration about that. And then also, yeah, because I am Black and a woman and young, there have been plenty of times where I've been in a room and I'm like, why is this person condescending to me? I actually don't even know why right now. Like, is it because I'm young? Is it because I'm Black? Is it because I'm a woman? Is it all three? Like, I didn't always know what the reason was. But again, that was a thing that was like sobering to realize, because inside my inner circle, it's all people who respect me, value my intelligence, and never made me feel different or othered or less than. And so sometimes when I exit the cocoon of like my core group of colleagues, I'm reminded like, oh, I'm not always going to be taken seriously in every room I'm in. And I have to like steel myself for that and not let it affect me or feel like an indictment of my abilities.
What tools have you gained to navigate that when you are out of your cocoon?
I think as my career has started to grow a little bit, there's been more commentary, not even just from other people in the music industry, but just like from people on the internet. Like I had very little experience with hate comments. And then now they're starting to trickle in more sporadically. Like I did like a TikTok ad for a company and it started to like get traction online. And the comment section was just filled with men commenting on my body because I was wearing like a low cut shirt. And there were just hundreds and hundreds of comments about what my body looked like, nothing to do with the ad. And ultimately we reached out to the company and they allowed me to turn the comments off and sent me flowers to apologize. Like it was handled properly. But it was a thing that was very jarring to me because that had never happened to me before. I hadn't had the universal female experience of my body's being debated in the comment section of a video that's not about my body. And I had a moment of feeling really profound insecurity and thinking about the way that I looked in a way that I never had before. And after I like recovered from that knee-jerk reaction, I just started to realize that the most powerful thing I can say to myself is, oh, I disagree. Like people can say all of these things in comment sections. And it's happened since then, like people calling me ugly on the internet. It's like, oh, I can just say I disagree. It doesn't have to be that like they're evil or that they're stupid or that they're bad. It's just like they're making an assessment that I disagree with. There's no way we're ever going to get to the objective truth about this. So why don't I just for myself say that I disagree with their assessment of me? And then I can move forward with my day. It's like a completely neutral thing that I can just like set aside.
Wow. I feel like I need to like take notes because obviously, like you pointed out, this comes up all the time.
Yeah, I spent so much of my young life, frankly, being treated like I was ugly because I did grow up as a person of color in predominantly white environments. And I spent most of my childhood and adolescence certain that I was ugly.
Wow.
And then I got older and I started to be treated like that less. And I then came to the realization, I was like, oh, well, now I'm starting to get treated a certain way because I'm not ugly. And like people are holding doors for me and smiling at me and stuff. And like all this stuff that had never happened to me before was starting to happen. And then only in the last, I would say, not even year, maybe the last 6 months, I started to realize how much it so doesn't matter. Like it matters in the sense that like people are going to treat me how they're going to treat me. And it's like fair to evaluate that and observe that behavior in other people. But like I can decide that like I'm going to stop evaluating every single image of me for whether or not I look good. Like if I get tagged in a photo where I think I don't look good, the photo doesn't have to come down. And I've been so preoccupied by the idea of beauty for so long, I'm just done. I don't want to think about it anymore. And I think the wave of like, especially among Gen Z women of being like, hot girls do this and hot girls do this. It's like, sisters, we must free ourselves. Like, I'm not hot and I'm not ugly. I'm a secret third thing. I don't want to be either of them.
So good. Oh my God, that's so good. I love that. Well, let's talk a little bit about being othered and even boxed in from a genre perspective. Can you speak to that a little bit here? And also, again, how have you learned how to overcome that and navigate that?
Yeah, I was not surprised to see that my music was immediately being categorized as soul music or R&B music. And when I first started playing shows, people would come up to me after shows and be like, you sound like The Cranberries, but with more soul. You sound like Phoebe Bridgers, but like more soulful. It was just such an obvious dog whistle. And I couldn't say anything because people were giving me compliments. And also I was like 18, 19, 20 years old. I didn't want to be mean, but I was like, I'm tired of getting these comments all the time. And one of the most public incidences of that was when I put out my song Wolves in 2020 and a magazine covered the release. And it was very kind coverage, but they called it a soul song. And I remember seeing it and I was like, that's crazy. This isn't a soul song. But I didn't think about it because I was like, oh, this happens all the time. Whatever. For some reason, Moses Sumney, an artist I really, really admire, reposted it on Twitter and was like, we must stop calling all Black music soul music. This artist doesn't make soul music. It's just very limiting and unfair. And it drew quite a bit of attention. Like the tweet got like 1,000 likes or something, which was like the most anything about me had ever had engagement. And a lot of people found me through that. Like there was this very interesting thing to watch the topic be litigated sort of on my behalf. And I feel like that specific thing happens less now where my genre is getting misattributed, but I still am often one of the only or the only Black woman on the playlist that I'm on or on a lineup that I'm on. And I also get the Tracy Chapman comparison all the time, which is a kind comparison, but I still am like, why don't we interrogate why that's the only person you can think to compare me to? Like, well, it's because I'm a Black woman with a deep voice playing an acoustic guitar. That's why, even though we don't really sound that much alike. So it's actually not a lot of like super negative energy, but I think it's really valuable to always interrogate our instincts when it comes to why we make certain comments or make certain categorizations or comparisons in our mind. And I always want to know why I'm doing that. And is it just because of something very cosmetic or is it because of something legitimate and like creatively relevant?
We have Jensen McRae with us on Shiro's. The new album is called I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. Let's go to another track. What's your favorite?
Oh, gosh. I really, really love Let Me Be Wrong. When I was talking before about thinking about what I was writing in the context of a live show, like Let Me Be Wrong is the most prominent example of that. And it's just a song I think that's especially helpful for people who are not men because it's about forgiving yourself and allowing yourself to make mistakes and still maintaining confidence in your ability and having love for yourself, which I feel like a lot of people who are female identifying struggle with.
Yeah. Free my tongue, go rogue and mean like those girls at 17. They got glass ceilings and rings. Those girls got everything. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I wrote that line because, like I said, I was not like well-liked in high school. And there was, of course, mean girls who were mean to me. And sort of my consolation to myself was like, oh, well, like I'm going to have this big, beautiful life. And like, they're going to peak in high school. And then I checked in on some of them in my mid-20s and they were like in grad school and engaged, all of them. I was like, wait a minute. How is it fair that you get to be like brilliant and successful, but also you still fell in love somehow and got engaged? Why didn't you get your karma? I thought that was how the world worked. And so it was me realizing like, oh, I might also make mistakes and do things wrong. And perhaps I also still deserve to have a beautiful life, even if I did something wrong when I was 17.
Free my tongue, go rogue and mean, like those girls at 17. They got glass ceilings and rings. Those girls got everything. Something twisted in my chest says I'm good but not the best. When I was young that knocked me out, but nothing really shakes me now. Let me be wrong, ride love till the wheels fall off, bright but delusional, loud at a funeral. Let me get lost, the hard way's the way I want, and I've been good too long. Let me be wrong.
That's Let Me Be Wrong, which falls just about midway through the new album by Jensen McRae. She's our guest today on Shiro's. I Don't Know How, But They Found Me is the name of her new album, her second full length. And I'm Carmel Holt. You know, I recently had a conversation with a band about how they did not start making music to make a political statement, but they've just embraced it. So I was curious how you felt about that and if that's something that has been important to you all along or has become important to you.
Yeah, I was just talking about this recently with someone about how when I was a kid, I was like obsessed with the idea of living through something. And then when the 2016 election happened, I was like, wait, I didn't mean it like that. And I have spent the last now almost 10 years having to reevaluate the things that I thought were going to happen from the 10 years prior to that, because like I was 11 when Obama was elected. And so I spent my whole adolescence feeling like, oh, like my identity as a woman and as a person of color is going to be kind of secondary because like we've broken down all these barriers and like everything's fine now. I'm a kid, I don't know anything. And I realize now that that is of course not an option. And like, I am going to be a political lightning rod just for being alive. And I definitely didn't think when I was much younger that politics was going to play a role in my artistry that much. Like I was always like passionate about like doing the right thing and being good and helping people, but like in a much more abstract sense. And now like, yeah, I realize like there's a political component to one, yeah, just being myself and existing in the United States, but also because I want to talk about things that are happening as they're happening in real time and just kind of report on the objective reality of the situation that I'm living in, even without editorializing it. It can feel controversial or radical in some way. And I think that it's a real waste of a talent and of a platform to not do that. I don't think that everyone needs to comment on every issue. I don't think every artist should be an activist. I don't even really self-identify as an activist because I feel like that's a title that you have to earn and that you can't self-assign. Mm. But I do think that it would be a tragedy if I was able to accrue this goodwill and this megaphone and I didn't use it to say something important every once in a while. Like I still want to write about my breakups and I still want to write about the other things that are happening to me in my life. But the way that I respond to tumult is often to write about it. And that seems to be the thing that I do that's the most effective. Like if I get on a soapbox, like on social media and like give a speech or, you know, share a bunch of links, like that does something, I guess. But the thing that I get the most engagement from people and the thing that makes people be like, oh, this fired me up to do this or this gave me the words to do, it's when I write a song about it. Mm. And something that I talk to my mom about a lot is when I do have these existential crises about why I'm pursuing music and I'm like, shouldn't I be doing something more practical? She's like, you should do what you're good at. And this is what you're good at. And all the people who are good at being climate scientists and congresspeople are going to do that. And you're going to do this. And then everyone's going to do their job. And that's how we're going to survive and prevail. And I think that is really my power as an artist.
I agree with that 100%. And we talk about vulnerability in this way sometimes where it's scary, but it takes the personal and makes it universal because we're human. We're all going through it. And it, what a gift it is to feel seen, you know, and to feel heard. And especially in, you know, difficult situations, like you're speaking to a relationship that was unhealthy and unsafe. You know, like I heard the song Daffodils and I was like, oh my God, you know, like I felt that on a visceral level.
Yeah, that song, Daffodils and Tuesday are kind of sister songs on the record. And they're both songs that I'm really excited for people to hear and also that are really scary because, like I said, like there's that feeling of like, is this going to be a thing that is dismissed and undercut in some way? Or is this going to be a thing that really speaks to people and helps them feel like they're not alone, which is obviously the ultimate goal.
Head rush, he steals space while I sleep and lets it go. He does cocaine off his keys and drives me home. He gets cleaned up, he takes another spill. The safety's off and I will foot the bill. He loved me once, I guess he got his fill.
We have Jensen McRae with us on She Rose. Her new album is called I Don't Know How, But They Found Me. And that's a track called Daffodils. Devastating and beautiful. And I want to compliment your songcraft. It's really like amazing and has continued to grow. It's really exciting to see.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
So Jensen, we do something called the She Rose Magic Wand at the end of each interview where I ask my guests to imagine that they have the power to change anything in the music industry for women, for non-binary people, for queer folks, for anybody that doesn't have an equal voice yet. If you held that magic wand, what would you want to see change?
Wow. I want to wave a magic wand and make sure that songwriters can see more of the money that they're generating for streaming services and labels and publishers, because without songwriters, there's no songs. And it's really a shame how unsung songwriters are. It's really a shame how underpaid they are. And it's really a shame that the middle class of musicians has basically disappeared. And I would definitely wave a magic wand and make sure that, I don't know exactly what it would look like yet, but like whether it's songwriters getting per diems for their sessions, or being able to have a songwriters union, or changing the payout structure from the streaming giants, or all of the above, I would just want for all of those people to be able to have the financial stability to not have to rush into any deals that are ill-advised, to not have to give up on any part of their life, to not have to work a million side jobs just to be able to kind of do music. I would want everyone to be able to feel just more stable and secure in their everyday lives.
May that wish come true. Yes. May it be so. Can I ask you a bonus question, bonus round here? Mm-hmm. Do you at 27 have any fears or concerns around longevity of career? Like, do you feel like there's an expiration date or a certain amount that you need to accomplish before you get to a certain age?
I don't, but that's because I'm insane and delusional. I see all the eras. There's so many eras that I want to enter. And being young, like, I like it. I'm not trying to fast forward through it, but I'm like, I feel like I'm finally aging into myself. And I would never in a million years want my 20s to be the best years of my life. I think there is so much more for me to do. There's going to be so much more excitement. There's going to be so much more I'm capable of as I get older, become more confident, become more educated and intelligent and sure of myself. And going back to the idea of, like, you know, of course, like female beauty, putting an expiration date on like your desirability and your ability to have an audience, like I just reject it now. Like, I just don't care. And like, I'm also doubling down on aging because of all of the pressure to like get injections and surgery when you're like my age, which, yeah, I don't understand at all. Like, I found my first gray hair the other day and I'm like, run it up, let's go. Like, I need to double down. I need to have smile lines and wrinkles and gray hair because someone has to do it. And if it's going to be me, then fine.
Is there a woman that you can think of that has aged through music and is continuing to do it that you admire and look up to?
Well, Brandi Carlile jumps to mind immediately. I mean, she's not old, but like she's older than I am. And like she is a rock star. Also, her voice still sounds insane. Like, she's been doing this for at least like 25 years now at this point, I think. And I was fortunate enough to play at the Girls Just Want a Weekend in January in Mexico, which was awesome. Best music festival ever, by the way. Me and my team were like, we've never felt more safe. I love Brandi. I admire her so much. And I've, for a long time, have wanted to emulate a career like hers. It seems like literally with every passing decade, like she just accomplishes more, is able to reach more people, and the music remains of such a high quality.
I love that. Jensen, it's been so awesome to spend some time with you. How should we go out today?
Why don't we end with Praying for Your Downfall? I wrote this song a few months before I wrote Massachusetts, which is the closer of the album. And if Massachusetts is about like finally wishing someone well after a long period of grieving the loss of a relationship, Praying for Your Downfall is like the very first step. Like, you're not quite ready to wish them well, but you no longer wish them ill. And it's about realizing how your life has value outside of proving to them that it does. And no longer feeling like you're in competition with the person who abandoned you, and realizing that your lives don't have anything to do with each other anymore, and you don't need them to lose for you to win.
Still think my sparkle makes you look small. Still think a fight can make a love false. Just keep doing whatever you want. I'm finished praying for your downfall. I can't keep begging for what I lost. And cursing tough love from a good
Thanks once again to Jensen McRae. Thank you for being with us on Shiro's.
Thank you for having me.
Massive thanks to Jensen McRae for being with us. Her new album, I Don't Know How, But They Found Me, is out now on Dead Oceans. Catch Jensen out on tour this fall. Details are at jensenmcrae.com. Today's episode was edited for broadcast. To hear the full interview, download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Next, we close the hour celebrating a big birthday for Rachel Price of Lake Street Dive, and we'll spin a classic by the Shirelles too when She Rose Radio continues.
So many hours putting words in your mouth. To think I thought I almost figured you out. I can make nice, but I can make it make sense now. Da 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 da. Don't need to see you fall down. I'll be the bigger man now. Don't need to see you fall down.
Stepping away one more time from Shiro's Radio here on KAXE, I'm Malachi Coons. We receive support from the McKnight Foundation and from the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, reminding you that speeders will pay a price, maybe the ultimate price. Please slow down. Extra speed patrols now on Minnesota roads. Itasca County Habitat for Humanity is offering a financial foundations course beginning September 8th. The class meets once a month through January and helps build knowledge so you can make informed financial decisions and achieve long-term goals. Call Itasca County Habitat to register. The Tamarack Water Alliance meets Wednesday, September 3rd at 10 a.m. on Zoom. Learn more at tamarackwateralliance.org/events. And Grand Rapids River Fest is Saturday, September 6th. This year's lineup, Courtney Barnett, Margot Price, Jeremy Albino, and Alan Sparhawk. Tickets and info at GrandRapidsRiverFest.com. Want to volunteer at the event? Head to GrandRapidsRiverFest.com under Get Involved. Now, more from She Rose Radio.
It's She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt, wishing the singular Rachel Price of Lake Street Dive a very happy 40th birthday on August 30th. Back to the 2021 album, obviously, for this song that she co-wrote with bandmate and bassist Bridget Carney.
Being a woman is a full-time job. I wake up in the morning and I punch the clock. And people tell me take it easy, but they don't say to stop. Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time job. And I work all day and I work all night. Being a woman is an uphill climb. 80 cents on the dollar and you need every dime. 'Cause you've got a little baby and she cries all the time. Being stand up and protest, we're called an angry mob, while another lone gunman loads up his shots. Being a woman is a full-time job.
Being a woman is a full-time
Going back to 1961 for that one by the Shirelles on She Rose Radio and celebrating one last August birthday for 2025. Rachel Price of Lake Street Dive, born on August 30th, we heard Being a Woman. That does it for this week's edition of She Rose Radio. Thanks as always for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. She Rose Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Download and subscribe to the She Rose podcast and to our new YouTube channel, She Rose Productions. She Rose is 100% independent and is made possible through the support of our public radio affiliates and now listeners like you. Through a new partnership with the nonprofit AIR, the Association of Independents in Radio, we've just kicked off our very first fundraising campaign. Text She Rose to 53555 to make a tax-deductible donation through AIR or visit SheRoseRadio.com. Until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks for listening.